But yesterday is about trying to... I'm trying to give it language. You call it outreach, but it's much bigger than that. We are trying to create what we call an ecosystem. Now that word may think, oh, what's that? What does that mean, ecosystem? Well, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. Let me read what it says in the natural. A natural description of an ecosystem is a geographic area. Are we in a geographic area? Yes, we are. Where plants, animals, and other organisms, as well as weather and landscape, work together to form a bubble of life. That's how God's created the earth. That it's a bubble. Have you noticed we don't get burnt? The sun's not burnt us up yet, but if we stay in the sun too long, then obviously we get burned. But the earth all works together to preserve itself. And the earth is only ever in danger when man gets involved. Take man out the equation and the earth is fine. So, what does this mean for us? An ecosystem. A church has to function where all its parts function for the good of all in the bubble. We'll call it in the bubble of life. And so what we're trying to do is create a culture in here. And culture, I know, means many things to many of you. And we'll keep talking about it to explain it to you. Culture is simply the way we do things. The way we do things around here. And we want everybody who comes in here to know that door is not closed. That door is not one way. That door has to be two way. We have to be outside in and inside out. Yes? Because there's a world beyond this door. You were in it and came into this bubble. Yeah? Now this is not the kind of bubble that someone can just pop and we all disappear. But this is the word bubble is, it's an environment that sustains life. Yeah. So when people came in here yesterday, some of them don't know what they're looking for. They just come to an invitation because the theme is something that excited them or stirred them and put an interest in them. We all get saved differently. And there's many steps that many of us can take on the road to finding Christ. So depending where you're scratching... where you're itching, someone's going to create a scratch that's going to draw you. And yesterday was about building a bridge into our community and establishing, but more so, we've talked as the leadership. Yesterday is more important for us. Do you know why? Let me qualify that. It's important for those we're reaching. But it's so essential because we want you to see and demonstrate and taste that our culture's changing. The more we do things, the more you'll realize we are changing. We can talk and talk and talk, but I find doing is far greater than talking. But you have to talk. So the more we do things, the more I believe everybody in this bubble can do something. And should do something. And should do something. You know, when our kids get old enough and they start working, what do we say? Their first right is what? Now you must start contributing. You must now pay. When they're younger, we tell them, if you're going to live in this house, there's going to be rules. There's going to be contribution. Clean your room up. Wash the dishes. Honor your mother and father. These are seem small things, but they're so big. Yeah. We start small. So contribution has to be something that every one of us has to make in some small ways, in some big ways. And it's up to us to recognize your skills, your talents, and you'll learn some new skills and talents as you get involved. So yesterday was brilliant to see our women. And I just said to Em yesterday, I said, Emma, how did it go? And her face was radiant. And I walked away thinking, yes. And I said to her, now, did you believe to see or did you see to believe? Because she thinks, right, so, we don't know who's going to come. Great. We don't want certainty. We want an element of uncertainty. Why? Because faith has to be established. God does it. Did it. They worked hard. They've put all their... They did what they can do. Now what we've got to do is go after them again. And keep going after people. Why? Because our culture, we want people to see there is an eco bubble here that provides life. Amen? And not only just provides it, but sustains life. Sustains life. You know, you all understand how to sustain yourself. You feed yourself. True? Right. Well, we feed, the life is sustained by what we feed, but by how we interact with one another. So this ecosystem is very, very, very important. You may not think, well, that's a strange word. Where does that fit into church? Well, pin back your ears and I'll tell you. It's everything to do with church. And I've seen so many examples of this all the way through Scripture. But, you know, inside every family, there is a unique environment. I go into your home, you come into my home, and we're going to find out the difference in your environment from my environment. Yeah? Or we may find some similarities. And that's fine. We're going to find maturity. We're going to find elements, measures of maturity and immaturity. We're going to find culture. We're going to find tradition. We all love a bit of tradition, don't we? We're going to find practices. We're going to find beliefs. We're going to find habits. Oh, yeah. That packet of biscuits every night is going to get you. We're going to find a lack of knowledge and amounts and measures of knowledge. And we're going to find and we're going to discover your personality when the door's closed. We're going to find you're not a celebrity. Because every family has an environment. True? Yeah. Of course it does. That's an ecosystem. You raise your family in an environment. But you know, in God's ecosystem, God needs life. God's ecosystem must consist of life. It must consist of growth. It must consist of growth. We grow in so many ways. You must grow. We must grow. We must grow in so many different ways. Because the ecosystem, I don't know if you know, the planet's growing. You cut the grass and it grows. Yeah? You take the fruit off the trees and it reproduces. The planet grows. So why can't God's house grow? It would be a tragedy, travesty, if we just grew numerically, but none of you grew spiritually. A travesty. And we must make sure that we grow both ways. We must grow in height, depth, width, and breadth. Four-dimension church. Amen? But you know, every ecosystem has a front door. Your mouth is a front door. Your mouth is a front door. Every home has a front door. Things enter in and things come out. Your mouth is a front door. Stand next to somebody who's got bad breath. You'll realize that everything that's inside them is not healthy right now. Yeah? And by what we speak and how we speak and what we say to one another, we will pollute our atmosphere and kill all life forms in it. So we have to pay particular attention to the health of the environment. Scripture tells us about gossip and slander and blah, blah, blah. Grievances, go to your brother and sort it out. Why? Because he says you must protect the life and the environment of the ecosystem called the church. It's so important. Yeah? You see, the reason why the family is under attack, because the family is an ecosystem, yes? Society thrives when families thrive. But society's under a threat. Why? Why is society under a threat? Because behind every door, there is seed. And seed is what we need for growth. True? Everything starts as a seed. And if you can destroy a seed, you destroy the potential of the life of the seed in the house. Because all seed has potential. All seed has destiny. Yesterday I had a wonderful experience. I was at a meeting and halfway through we stopped for lunch and I'm just talking. I'm sat on my own, minding my own business, which is not like me. I'm sat there having my lunch and just sat there. And next minute this Indian guy sits at the side of me. It's a spiritual meeting, so I'm not in the street or anything like that. This guy's talking to me. Next minute all these young people sit there. And within 5 minutes I have, must be about 10 Indians, I'm engaging 10 young Indians. Fantastic. And it was such organic, it was natural, and we were talking at a level that they'd never been spoken to before. Because their culture didn't allow for it to be spoken at that level. And when they're talking to me, there's no culture involved. It's just young people. An organic life. Young people are hungry. They want life. So I've got to make sure that my ecosystem is carrying life. So when you've got 10 young people, they range from the 20s. Yeah, they're all 20s. Around about 20s, 19. 22, 19, that's it, yeah. And they're all uni students or going that way. So these were intelligent. But you know what? I was having a ball. I didn't want the meeting to start again. I thought, just leave me with these young guys. I'm having more fun with these young guys than anything else. And they were having fun. But the father, who's the pastor of some of them, he's not happy. And I can clock him in the distance. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. All I'm doing, fella, is sitting down having my dinner. I didn't go to these guys. These guys came to me. There's nothing sinister here going on. But it was such a wonderful expression how these young people are looking for life. And if you don't create life in church, they'll leave. Yeah? They don't want to come and just sit. We've got to get them involved. It's important. And how do we protect? How do we protect our generation? How do we protect this ecosystem? We don't give them the dogma that many of us have had. We don't pass on to them our biases, our prejudice, our opinions, our exaggerations, all our negative experiences. They're going to have enough of that in the world. They cannot have it in here or in your home. Husband and wife, you can't be fighting. You can't be, as mother, you can't be calling dad behind the kid's back. Sorry, behind his back to the kids. And vice versa. We can't have that kind of nonsense in the family. Why? Because the seed is going to be attacked. The seed has to be preserved. You brought these children into the world. Raise them. And raise them well. You. The church can't raise your children. The church influences your children. You raise them. Amen? Amen? Yeah, amen. Don't bring them your ideology. Don't bring them religion. And what I said to the Indians yesterday was this. Do you serve the God of your fathers, or do you serve the God who's revealed himself to you? And this paramedic, young girl, paramedic, looked at me, she went, wow, I never thought it'd be like that. I said, because if you serve the God of your fathers, all you'll serve is a tradition, a culture. I said, God must reveal himself to you. I said, so once God reveals himself to you, he then becomes the image and the standard that your life needs to conform to. Amen. He is the one. With the help of your parents. Yeah? And it's so important. And they said, no, we know the Lord. Great. Great. Your father's journey is your father's journey. But you have destiny. So we must protect the seed. So let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It says, and you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. You have something inside of you that is indestructible. You can be destroyed, but the seed within you cannot. Yeah? How's it come? Through the living, enduring Word of God. So if you've got your ecosystem lively and vibrant, and you're feeding off the Word of God will feed your seed. Yeah? Because your seed is like a child. It will grow the more you keep feeding it on the Word of God. We've been born again through the living. It's living and enduring Word of God. So you must have the Word of God in your ecosystem. It must speak to your mind. It must speak to your heart. It must speak to your pocket. It must speak to your feet. It must speak to your hands. It must speak to every part of you, not just to your head. And that's the problem with most Christians. We know an awful lot, but we do very little with it. It must consume us. It must, if it's going to be living and enduring, it must have preeminence in our life. Amen? Now shoot over to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. Let's pick it up. The same theme. Ephesians 1:22. Now think of this ecosystem. You've now got the seed. You've now got the seed within you. The seed alone is not enough. That's great for you as an individual person who is saved. But now let's put it in the context of the church needs to be the place where life is sustained. Always remember, Jesus just didn't die just for you. Jesus didn't die just for you. He died for the sins of the world. And you were sin in the world. So when he died for you, when he died for the sins of the world, you were included. Right? But then he gives an ecosystem, environment called the church. What's he coming back for? He's not coming back for you. He's coming back for the church. You must be part of him. Because if you're part of him, you're part of the church. Right? He's coming back for the church. Never forget, the church is the most important thing. When God speaks, he speaks first to the church. And every one of us inside the church gets our portion. God's a good father. He knows how to put the meat on the table. And he says, guys, the meat's on the table. Help yourselves. Yeah? So he feeds the family first. That's the ecosystem. So let's read it. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything. So he is the totality. He's the one who sets the scene, the life for the environment inside the church. We must understand this environment. And we must function if we are to remain healthy. It's so important, guys, that we must understand what God's expectation and the patterns for creating an ecosystem that sustains the life of the people. Does this make sense? So he says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. For the church. Underline the church. That's what he did it for. And he says, which is his body, the fullness, watch this, who fills everything in every way. So if we haven't got him in the church, we don't have a church. We just have a meeting. Because he is the one that fills everything in every way. He is the oxygen we breathe. Does that make sense? Right. So we see that God, the church is God's eco-environment system on the earth. God's put it on the earth. Where's the church? On earth. And he has been appointed the head over everything. So our ecosystem has a focus. It's him. Yeah? Now, listen to, just for a second, listen to the understanding and appreciation of those who have discovered in this ecosystem, you might want to write these down, in this ecosystem, there is peace. In this ecosystem, there is provision. God has provided us with oxygen. Amen? Thank God for oxygen. God's provided us with water. God's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Right. So in the house of God, you go and work outside for everything you need in life. But for godliness, there are things that have to be, can only be obtained and partook of inside this environment. Amen? God works in both. You're meant to be in both. They don't breathe carbon dioxide outside there and we only breathe oxygen in here. We don't. We're human beings. We all breathe the same air. Amen? Now watch this. I'm just going to quote these very quickly. I'm not asking you to turn to them. I'm just giving you an idea of what I'm saying. So there's peace, there's provision, there is power. We need the power of God in our environment. The next thing we need is promises. God gives us promises. You getting this? All this is provided for us inside this system called the ecosystem. The only system that you and I can have, we cannot have the systems of the world, but we can have an ecosystem. Now, so Psalm 3 verse 5 says, I lie down and sleep and I awake because the Lord sustains me. Now that's a man who's discovered an ecosystem and he knows how to draw from it. I lie down and God sustains me. That's what he does. He's realized he's drawing from a sustainable source. And then in Psalm 146 verse 9, he said, the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. So the alien was a foreigner who wasn't a Jew. And God says he watches over them and sustains them. And then in Proverbs 18:4, he says, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness. But a crushed spirit, who can bear? There are things inside us that will sustain us and keep us alive if we keep building from the living, endurable Word of God. And Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Sovereign Lord, watch this, I love this verse. Sovereign Lord, you have given me an instructive tongue. Why? Why? To know the word that sustains the weary. It is the word of God that sustains the weary. And you have given me that word to sustain the ecosystem of others. And myself, by the way. I must sustain myself. I'm not a self-sustaining man, but I do things that will sustain me. Yeah? And he wakens me morning by morning, because every day I need to keep drawing, right? To listen like one being taught. That's my upload and download moment. I upload to him in praise and prayer, and I download in whatever he says to me. Yeah? There needs to be this upload and download going on in your life. That's how you sustain your ecosystem. If you only have a download from this way, then you'll never sustain yourself. You've got to have an upload and download going on in your life. An upgrade. An update. Upload. Download. Okay? Galatians 2:20. Last scripture on this one. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. Okay. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. That's part of the oxygen of the ecosystem. Faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. The God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm in Christ. Christ is an ecosystem. So, how many of you believe the return of the Lord is a key issue? How many of you believing and trusting him and serving him until he comes back again is everything? Scripture talks to us about holding on. Yeah? We're called to stay focused, stay faithful, stay loyal, and keep preaching the truth, and keep the ecosystem strong. Why? Because when he comes back, he's looking for a bride that has a perfect, healthy ecosystem. He does not want a bride who's in bed with the world. Amen? So, do we understand that? So Christ is coming back again. Refresh your heart with that. Upload. Refresh your screen. He is coming back again. Sometimes it's been so long and we forget about it. Refresh your screen. Give your head a wobble. Refresh your screen. He's coming back again. So in the book of Revelation, we see how easily, after Christ had been on the earth, the disciples became apostles. The apostles had preached what they preached, established what they'd established. We see the state of the church and how the ecosystem had changed in all the churches, five of the churches out of the book of Revelation. So we see in the book of Revelation, we see the church of Ephesus. Now, these sound like a lot of Western churches. I know your work, the perseverance, and I know you can't tolerate the wicked men who have exposed themselves, calling themselves false prophets. And by the way, there's so many false prophets around. And false apostles. And then he says this, so you've done that sounds good, but guess what you've done? You've neglected your first love. So what do you think that ecosystem's going to be like if you neglect the first love? If I stop loving Carol, what kind of environment do you think our house is going to turn into? Well, it's going to turn into a selfish one for a start. And it's going to turn into an agitated environment. Yeah? A careless environment. It's going to be a disrespecting environment. The environment's going to change based on where my affections are not placed and where they should be placed. Yeah? This is how environments change very quickly. So the first ingredient we see that was missing out of this church, and it's something you and I are told and warned and instructed and taught about repeatedly, is loving one another. Loving one another. Not just love yourself, love your wife. That goes by the by. You've got to love yourself and love your wife and your husband. But loving one another. You see, because there's nothing like me not loving Z that's going to mess this environment up. There's where we all struggle. So what we have to do as leaders is we have to determine that in our ecosystem, where we see tension, we confront it. Where we see Jimmy's falling out with Sally, we have to try and help Jimmy and Sally to sit down and resolve it. Scripture tells us before we take communion, go and sort it out with Jimmy and Sally. Paraphrase version, obviously. Jimmy and Sally's not in the New Testament. Yeah? We have to go and sort it out with one another. Why? Because love is the first command. If we can't like one another, we'll never love one another. So we see in this church, love was the thing that had affected their ecosystem. Then we go to the church of Smyrna. He says, I know your afflictions and I know your poverty. Wow. Yet you're rich. I know the slander you have endured from false Jews. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Oh, great. Great encouraging words, Lord. It's like me saying to Z, don't worry. Don't worry, you're going to be crucified. Don't worry, they're coming with nails and all that, and they're going to rip your eyes out. But don't worry, see, don't worry. It's like, can you give me an encouraging prophecy? And the devil will come to persecute you and put some of you in prison to test you to the point of death. Now remember, they are poor, but yet they're rich. So on the outside, it looks like they've got lack. And they've got need. But on the inside, God says, oh, I love this environment. This is where I belong. These people are standing in this environment with me, for me, alongside me. And it's amazing what we think is great and glorious. God says, it's a stench. Church, thank God we've got resources. But we need to be rich in spirit. We do. We've got a lot of work to do as leaders. You've got a lot of work to do as followers and as believers, because we are determined to build this environment stronger and stronger and stronger, because this is the only way forward. This is church health 101. Yeah? So the next thing we see was poverty was something that attracted the Holy Spirit. Attracted the Lord. Now, poverty needs an understanding in itself. I'm just putting that on the radar. Third one was Pergamum. I'm not going through all the churches. Don't worry. Just pulling out some key thoughts. You didn't renounce my name. You did not renounce your faith in me. And then he comes out with that word. Nevertheless. Oh. You know, I like that part. Just stop there, Lord. I like that. I didn't renounce your name. You didn't renounce your faith in me. Think, okay, Lord, just stop there. I know I'm on good footing with you now. Nevertheless, Tony, I have this against you. What's that, Lord? You tolerate the teaching. Now stop right there. Before I go any further, many of you tolerate wrong teaching. You'll go to your YouTube and you'll flick on anything. And there's no filter. You think as it's on there and it's free, you can watch anything. But little do you know you're getting confused. Yeah. Little do you know that you're actually backfilling your own well. Yeah. And discernment, you must know what's good teaching, what's bad teaching, or what's not helpful teaching. It may not be bad, it just may not be helpful for you right now. But we are drawn to personalities. And because Jimmy, the evangelist speaks, oh, he's good, him, yeah, everybody likes him, so he must be good. Where's your filter? Where's your filter? You don't know Jimmy the evangelist is living. You don't know Johnny the apostle's living. You don't know Susie the prophet. You don't know what she's doing. You've got to be very careful what you're listening to and who you're listening to. And neither would I ever turn round and ever say to you, you can only listen to me. Hey, that's just bad as listening to them. God gave you a brain. You must know what's good. I'm doing my job. You do your job. Yeah? And he says, you know, you tolerate the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak how to entice the Israelites into sin. And you hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. And then he comes with this warning, repent. Repent of some of the garbage you listen to. Therefore, I will come to you soon and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. God is saying, you're messing up the system. You're messing up the ecosystem. This is my church. These boys, these apostles, gave their life for this. They labored so that you would be established. And here you are, messing it up. And lastly, Thyatira, the church. The last church, I'm not going through all the churches. I know your deeds and your faith, your service and your perseverance. And I know you're doing more than you just first did, Dream Center. We could be inserted into this. Nevertheless. You see, when there's a comma, you know something else is coming. When it's a full stop, you can pause, you can breathe. And between one verse and another verse, you know, 20 years may have passed in the Bible, depending where you're reading. Yeah. But there's a comma, you know, it's a continuation. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Mm. You know, Jezebel's all over the TV. Do you know that? Jezebel's all over social media. And she calls herself a prophetess. And our children are attracted to Jezebel. Because she says things that are enticing to them. We have to be so careful that we guard the ecosystem of the family. We've got to be careful. Teach our kids to be responsible. But when you're the parent, are the problem. Listen, monkey does before monkey sees. Yeah, we all understand that principle, don't we? So when you're always on your phone, what do you think your kids are watching? What do you think your kids are seeing? You on the phone. So now, you give the kid the phone, and they're watching, and now you've got two are doing exactly the same thing. You've created a habit that you won't stop. That's the gospel according to Pastor Tony. So, God is most particular in safeguarding his own church. He's most particular. There's more safety protocols written in the New Testament than there is in any policy you can have on a wall. Do you realize that? And God sets instructions out in the New Testament so that we, the believers, will follow them. And these instructions are given to safeguard us. Amen? And protect us. And why? Because we just read in the Ephesians 1:22 that God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. So the church is God's central environment. Now Christ lives in you. You are in Christ. The church is in Christ. These are not separate. These are all in Christ. So when he gives us instructions, he gives us instructions to protect your family, to protect you, to protect God's household. Do we understand this? So, let's go to 1 Timothy 3:15. And this is most important. The more I read this, the more I just... It's my golden scripture I use time and time and time again. Because it's the safeguarding policy that God's built into me. And our leaders will tell you, I brought this to him some years ago and I've never dropped the baton on it. I think about this all the time and I stir them all the time. And it says this, if I am delayed, just stop there. What does delay mean? Delay can mean so many things. It means I am not coming forth as fast as I should be. And that's just come to me as I'm talking to you. Now stop. Are you coming faster? Are you coming forth as fast as you should be? Because if you're not, you're delayed. So, he's got destiny. I'm a leader. God puts him in a house. God plants him in a house. He plants me in a house. And he puts me as a leader. So, what's my destiny becomes a destiny for corporate, for the corporate people. We all have different ways. We'll all have different ways that God will speak to us and use us, but there is a corporate destiny. Yeah. Right. So, if I'm the leader and I don't grow on time and in line, I am delaying him who's looking to me for leadership. Watch this. Now, some of you are quite happy to sit there and have no one lead. But some of us want leadership. Some of us just want a Sunday preacher. But some of us are looking for life and for leadership. So if I'm delayed at coming forth, I delay him. How long do you think it will be before he says, You are now a stumbling block to my destiny. Hey. Now let's put the shoe on the other foot. We have a destiny as a leadership. Maybe you might have a limit, Phil. We have a leadership and we've been, God's spoken to us. And we're ready. But them lot over there, they're not coming forth. We've got to find ways of reaching them. Scolding them isn't going to do it. That's not what you do. That's not leadership. That's authoritarianism. We've got to go over there and find out and work with them and help them. Why? Because now you may have just what it takes so that we can fulfill corporate destiny and God's going to use you. Right? Everybody must come forth or we're delayed. Does this make sense? So if you're not taking care of your own ecosystem, you'll always delay your own destiny. Hey, this is powerful stuff. So when you sat there and you're singing your song, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water side, we shall not be moved. You're right, you won't be moved. So we'll work around you. Mama raised no fool. I know a tree that's stubborn. So let me just tell you something about a tree that was stubborn from an old lady that came to our church, Mary Birch. And she tells the story of an apple tree in her garden. And it never produced fruit. She got so brassed off that she decided to go and beat the seven sorts out of this tree with a cricket bat. And she starts whacking it. You will grow, you useless thing. The next year it grew. Some of us just need speaking to. Yeah. Notice I didn't say you need cracking with a cricket bat. Some of us just need a good talking to and will produce fruit. But if I'm delayed, if you're delaying, if you are the delay, then we've got a problem. Now watch, let's pick up this verse. If I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in the ecosystem of God's house. Watch this. He says, people will ought to know to conduct themselves in God's household. There's his environment. Which is what? Come on, everybody say it. The church. Oh, it's not just, no, don't just stop there. It's not just the church. Read a bit further. Right, just pause there for a second. It's the church of the, you know, he owns it. Yes. Don't just stop there. Carry on. Which is what? The pillar. And the foundation. It's the very core of life. This ecosystem is in the church. Now, many of us are delayed. So therefore, what do you think the main issue is in that verse? Behavior. Behavior is the key thing he's pulling out of this verse. How we behave. How we respond to what's been spoken. To who he is. To whose house it is. How we respond determines the health of our environment. Because if I'm sat there, if you're sat there and I'm sat there and we shall not be moved every week, guess what? Nothing will move. And you'll never enter into a move. Because the move will go around you because you're now a stubborn tree. Speak tenderly to the tree. That's the post on the wall. Why? Because that's a prophetic word that God spoke to us. Now, if I am delayed, he says. In other words, no excuses. If I'm delayed, I can give excuses. I'm a bit late because. No excuses, no reasons, no explanation of human reasoning can cut it with God why you are delayed. Let me say that again. The Christ who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Is that true? There is no reason, no excuse you can give to God for being delayed. None. All the fullness lives in you. So you're left to choices and decisions. Wants. I don't want to. Right, that's what it comes down to. No reasons, no excuses. Keep on going to the end. He who endures to the end will be saved. But yeah, but God, you just don't understand. Sorry? God doesn't understand. Are you so important now that he can't understand you? God understands everything. So, we can't give excuses why I am constantly being delayed. Yes, there's times when you're sick. There's times when you've gone through a bereavement. When you may take a time out to restore and to heal. That's not the same as not going forward. That's very different. But sat here and may finding every excuse and reason why you shouldn't be involved. Why I shouldn't upload and download. Why I shouldn't follow this word. That's down to you and you only. Your sickness didn't cause that. There's choices we have to face in life. Now, all these, hear what I'm saying? All these are according to our maturity levels. To our maturity levels. And he said to Timothy, you know my destiny. You share in my destiny. Timothy, you know I'm going to go to Rome. You know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. So Timothy, you may not see me again, but I'm leaving you here. So I'm trusting you. You better know what the requirements are for keeping this environment healthy. Yeah? You better know what's required of you. Because to whom much has been given? He says, Timothy, you may not see me soon, son. I'm going to be gone. But all that I put into you, don't let it be delayed. Now, Paul was delayed because of persecution. Paul was delayed for all kinds of reasons. But you must not delay. You must not delay. Now, he's telling us here, secondly, there is a specific knowledge needing to be obtained. If you are going to... If you are going to understand how you should behave, there is knowledge you need to empower you in the act. Yes? Does that make sense? There's things I must further know. In other words, I must keep upgrading myself so I can know how to walk, act, and respond so that I can fulfill that command of I should know how I ought to believe, how I ought to behave. Yeah? Paul outlines the nature of the church so clearly for us. It's the pillar. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the pillar and it's the foundation. This is not just any environment. This comes from heaven. As it is in heaven, there's nothing wrong with the environment upstairs. Nothing. And God wants an exact pattern. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. He's working day and night for you and I to bring this pattern into alignment. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he starts saying, these are the patterns that's going to align us so that the church is exactly the way it is in heaven. Amen? Because there is a man sat on the throne who is the church, who is the pillar and is the foundation. And he's coming back for a spotless bride who will be part of Christ, who will be the pillar, who will be the foundation. We must look the same. Yes? So we need knowledge. Thirdly, there is a growing that is necessity. That is a necessity for you and I. Growth is necessary. Oh, should I say, it's essential. That's the word, yeah. Growth is essential if we are going to keep protecting this environment. Do you understand that? Everything in an ecosystem grows because it's happy with itself. There's oxygen, there's air, there's nutrients in the soil, everything's producing. But in the church, it's a different story. The church is not growing, the church is not producing. Why? Because the system is not set up right. And it's not a structure. It's instructions. That's so good, I'll say it again. Yeah. It's not a structure. It's instructions that we follow. The instructions we follow become the structure. You need structure. And your structure comes from following the instructions. Only through your response and my response does peace, provision, promises, and protection come online. Your response to what God's word, your response brings the peace. Your response brings the provision. Your response activates the promises. Your response. Your fridge magnet doesn't. Your poster on the wall doesn't. You do. You activate. You're the one who puts the key in the lock and turns it. Yeah? God is the living Father of the house. And He is meticulous. He will not play games with us about people ignoring His instructions. He will not. Amen? So, let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 10, and with this we'll finish. Phil actually opened this up to us last week, so I'll preach it better. No, he did a good job on it last week. Now, inside, that's Luke chapter 1, so it's easy to find. Inside every church, just look at me for a second. Inside every church, inside every eco-environment, there has to be open channels for God to speak through. There has to be open channels for God to speak through. So I'm now looking at the channels He uses. There's an English channel. But this is the Dream Center's channel. You are the channel from which heaven flows through. Your mouth. Yes? So one of the ways He does that is by spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, ADT students, I'm on it again. God needs vessels who are open channels for God to speak. Why? Because we've already been told we have received the seed that is imperishable through the enduring living word of God. So the enduring living word of God needs to come through living vessels. This is how we keep cleansing the atmosphere. This is how we keep purifying the atmosphere. We do not recycle air in this room. Because depending on the quality of the air, it just keeps getting recycled. But every time a word comes from heaven, the Bible tells us that all good things are pure and come down from the Father of lights. Pure. So we see what comes down from heaven is pure until it hits you. Then your vessel then becomes contaminated by how you've been walking and living. But God still doesn't bypass you. He still allows you to be His vessel. Yeah? So God uses imperfect vessels. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You're looking at one right here. No, you're looking at one here, and I'm looking at one all around. We're imperfect. And God chooses the lowly people. You know, the uneducated people, the smart people. He uses all kinds of people for his will. But let's get back to the church. He must have living vessels, open channels. He must have it. You're not too old that God can't speak through. So here we go. And when the time came, and when the time came, and when the time came, and when the time came. Is it time yet? Yes. And when the time came for the burning of incense, and all the assembled worshippers were praying outside, one atmosphere. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel says to him, chill out. Don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. John. So, a promise is now being given into the environment. Worshippers are outside, one environment. But now he's, Zechariah the priest, he's got a different connection with God, and God speaks to him about what's about to come through him. Because it's now time. It's a new day. And the environment, meaning Israel in this particular case, is ready for a forerunner. It's a new day. True? He says, and then he begins to declare what this forerunner looks like. He will be a joy and a delight to you. So he's going to bring joy into your personal environment. That's what children should be. Yeah? And many will rejoice because of his birth. So there's happiness in the environment. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never take wine or fermented drink. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. So John is, so Zechariah is about to, him and his wife are going to bring birth to a forerunner who's going to come in the dimension, the dynamic of Elijah. And this is going to cause great confusion in Israel. Because some will think he is Elijah. And then he says he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the obedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now what an outstanding prophecy to give a child. Yeah? What an outstanding prophecy. But the problem is, as we read the rest of that story, unbelief takes hold of Zechariah. And the very thing he was meant to be, he was meant to announce and proclaim, he could not announce and proclaim. He became a closed vessel that God could not speak through in the house. You see this? God, knowing full well what would happen, knows that he's going to be the forerunner, knows Elizabeth's going to have the child, tells him, and it all rises and falls on one man not being an open channel. Can you imagine receiving the greatest news that you and your wife are about to give birth to a child, and then all of a sudden you're struck dumb? Having no power to proclaim will delay the atmosphere. Having no power to proclaim, if you can't be the channel that God can use, how are you going to announce something new in your environment? If you can't speak over your own life and can't speak into the life of the church, how are you going to release what God wants to bring through your life? God needs a man and a woman on the ground who are vessels that God can speak to. The greatest, one of the greatest moves. Jesus said there's none like him. There's none like John. He's going to come and do something so profound that dad can't even proclaim it. Now here's the problem. When there's no voice on the ground, And with this, we're finishing, I promise you. You cannot affirm what God has said. You cannot bring affirmation in the area it needs to be brought. You cannot validate. And you cannot approve. These are things that's going to keep your environment open, clear, and safe. When was the last time some of you prophesied over yourself? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. You prophesy over yourself every day when you talk negatively to yourself. When you listen to your own negative thoughts, you prophesy over yourself. So arrest the negativity in your own mind first and begin to speak out the opposite of what you're thinking. There's a first place. There's a first practice of cleansing the eco-environment inside your head and heart. So when you come into the house, what's being said no longer fights with what you've been saying. And now there's a clear channel. The runway's open. So I don't preach because it's my job. I went very quiet in here. I don't get up and think, well, it's my job, I have to get up and I don't feel good this week and I suppose I better preach because they're expecting me to say something. The moment you expect me to say something, there's a moment I'm out. You think, well, what do you mean by that? I get up because I have something to say. Not because you expect me to say something. Yes? You can't pay me enough to say something I haven't got to say. True? I better have something to say. So I better walk with him. Because you're too precious to sit here and keep putting up with me. I don't expect you to put up with me if I've got nothing to say. Why? Because I'm determined in this house that the ecosystem is going to be filled with God's word. Amen. And I'm also encouraging you to keep to come alongside and keep this word. Yeah. And the best way you can encourage anyone who speaks in the church is by living it. I don't need you to come to me and say, oh, Pastor, that was a brilliant word. Brilliant word means it had an effect on you at that moment. I get that. I get it. But I'd rather you come back next week and say, you know what, I've been living that word all week. Yeah. That's a better compliment than just saying, oh, I like what you said this morning. Fair? Is that fair? Yeah. By the way, like is not a fruit of the Spirit. So I don't need you to like what I say. Like is not a fruit of the Spirit. But I do need you to live what's being spoken. So, we understand that Zechariah, because of his faults and doubt, shut down probably one of the greatest moments God wanted to share with him. Yeah? Don't be delayed is the answer, is the question I'm asking you this morning. Or should I say, it's the challenge I'm putting to you this morning. If you don't build this ecosystem, and we don't build this ecosystem together with some of the things I've just spoken about, we are going to delay what God is about to do. Do you understand this? We cannot delay. We should know how to behave now. Behave now is what we need to do. Because what we understand, we must respond to. That is the key to what God is saying. You can't just keep missing your time. We're getting old. I want fulfillment. I want fulfillment. I want to see fulfillment in you. I can't prosper at your result. At your expense. It's not right for me to prosper and you not. If we build right, we can all prosper. And we should all prosper. But only if you want to prosper. So let's stand to our feet. So arrest the maniac inside your own mind first and say, I'm going to build this ecosystem on the inside of me. That's going to be clean. It's going to be vibrant. I have the seed of God inside of me, who's from the living, enduring word of God, who fills everything in every way. Are you in Christ this morning?
Yes.
Is Christ in you?
Yes.
Right then, see, I'm speaking to the right crowd then. Okay. I just thought I was speaking to Mormons for a second then. Let's raise our hands if we will. And just say, Father, you're in me and I'm in you. And your word is in me. Father, if there's any delay in me, Lord, root it out. Bring me forth on time. Bring me forth on time. No delay. No delay. Come on, speak it over yourself. No delay. Whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm feeling, there will be no delay. Nothing must delay me. Nothing must delay the destiny of God within me. There are lessons to learn. There are giants to fight. But nothing must delay me. I must work and labor and respond in such a way that my ecosystem and the ecosystem of the church and family stays healthy. No delay. No delay. No delay. Come on, speak it over yourself. There will be no delay. No weapon formed against you shall prosper or shall stand. Why? Because there will be no delay. Your children are going off this way or that way. There will be no delay. Lord, you will bring them back into autocorrect. Come on, speak it over yourself. Begin to cleanse your own environment. Prayer, praise, repentance, they're the key things for cleansing the environment. Oh, Father. Father. Father, Father. Oh, Rabba Satara Manda Rabba Karianda. Shile Manda Rabba Korianda. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Shilemara mama masotore boyonda la brakarianda. Kele brababa satarianda la makuriende. Solamandara baba karianda. I was praying for you this week. And as I was praying for you all this week, I was praying that Lord, that the Lord reminds you of His name. The name that He's given you, which is a name above all other name. And on that name, you will be able to stand. And on that name, you'll be able to pray. And on that name, you'll be able to confess. Because that's a name which is above every other name. And I'm asking the Lord this week to give you that name more and more. Make it clearer and clearer. He's already given you the name, but to make it clearer and clearer to you so that you will be armed and equipped for facing every obstacle that life's throwing at you, because God does not want us delayed. So go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you.